Podcast Network, AfterBuzz TV, over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
So epic!
The start of every Rebels panel is just the best thing ever.
It's so true. It's just like a fanfare of gloriousness.
Just goosebumps all
exactly.
over.
I love it.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Star Wars Rebels After Show, Season 2, Episode 2, Relics of the Old Republic. If you guys have not done so already, please be sure to head on over to iTunes, subscribe to us over there, rate us, give us reviews, 5 stars, leave us comments saying what you think. You can do the same on YouTube. Just head over there, except for instead of stars on YouTube, it's thumbs up. Leave us comments. Let us know what you think. And also, if you want to talk to us on Twitter, you can do so as well using that hashtag ABTVRebels. And we're going to have to just be monitoring the hashtag because the internet is being a bit precarious today. So unfortunately, we do not have the live chat on my computer here, but perhaps we'll be able to see some of it on the monitors and we'll be able to follow that hashtag as well. So we're not leaving you guys completely in the dark. We love you. We're not ignoring you. It's just the internet is like really messing.
It looks like we've got the live chat pulled up there.
If we could just zoom it in.
So that we could read it. I see some emojis.
Yep. Emojis are, they're good emojis, right? They're like smiley faces.
Yeah, I'm going to assume that those are smiley faces and give everybody a big thumbs up.
Yay! I am Emma Fife. You can follow me all over the internet at Emma Fife. And I am joined by the fabulous Megan Salinas.
Hey, everybody. You guys can tweet at me at the Menguin. That's T-H-E-M-E. N-G-U-I-N.
So, Megan, what did you think of this episode?
I just wish I could just binge watch this whole freaking season. Because it was a perfect follow-up to last week.
It really was.
I feel like we could have had another 1 hour special after the Siege of Lothal, and it would just be getting Rex and crew back.
I totally, totally agree, because these last two episodes felt very much like that sort of two-parter, one-hour TV special.
Exactly.
Rather than two separate episodes. It was one continuous story. And I thought it was executed incredibly well.
No, it was fun. It was adventurous. But at the same time, you were, like, there was a lot of tension.
Yeah.
You assumed that everyone was going to make it out of there, okay? But there's still something in the back of your mind going, wait, what if the clones die? That'd
I
be
know.
Terrible.
No, absolutely. And for a second there, I mean, because this is a show that's not afraid to go to sort of dark places.
No, people are dead now, and yep. I will keep going back to that.
Yeah. So it is interesting because at the end of the episode, when it was sort of in question whether or not the clones were going to survive, because, you know, they commented, I believe it was Ezra commented, you know, they're either going to die. Or, I mean, that was basically it. It was they're going to die at the end.
Like, even if they were to defeat the empire that was there.
Right.
I mean, they would just send reinforcements.
Exactly.
It's that simple. Like, them choosing to stay behind is basically, we know we're going to die.
Yeah.
That's it. And we're okay with that.
Yep.
Literally staring down the barrel of a couple blasters right in the face. And he's yelling at
us.
They're so good.
Yeah,
so good.
So good. And as I say, and that's the thing that I really, really like about this show is that the stakes are so high. Like, there's never a moment where you really truly feel, oh, well, they say, oh, they're gonna just fight and probably die trying, and you don't believe them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like in a lot of shows, particularly those that are intended for kids, especially some of the shows that I think we watched growing up as kids, or the way they were edited and presented to us, nobody dies. They just go to another dimension.
They go to another dimension, or they, like, we have a fade to Y, and it's like, oh no, they've been kidnapped,
I guess. What? No.
They're just hanging out somewhere else. It's no big deal.
Yeah. Yep. So yes.
They really wanted to soften the blow.
They really,
a lot of
they
things,
really
didn't
did. They really did.
I can see their parachutes. They're okay.
That was always my favorite. Yep. No, there are no parachutes.
It's a good thing those buildings were abandoned.
Yep. Good thing we just added those lines to make it clear that nobody is dead here.
Nobody actually died. Yeah, everything is fine.
That's not the case with Star Wars Rebels. Like, no. People are dead.
People are dead, and every time we get into a firefight, there's the potential for more death.
Absolutely.
And especially, like, and we got a little bit of the darkness that's on its way in the next episode. We got a little bit of that. And, like, just knowing that even that is on its way, it's like, I don't know, guys.
I know.
Who on the team do we think is expendable at this point?
I know, because I just feel, this is terrible, and this is sort of, like, prediction territory, but I just feel like there's no way the whole crew is surviving the whole season.
I don't think so. Like, well, maybe the season, okay, but, like,
right.
By the end of the series, no. Like, I have a good feeling that, like, a few people are going to be dead, and I'm not a fan of that.
Well, and somebody actually tweeted at me earlier today. Let me scroll down and see if I can bring up his Twitter handle, because he tweeted at me and was like, hey, have you heard people theorizing that Ezra is Kylo Ren? And I was like, what? No.
Well, you're talking about for the next coming episode.
Yeah.
In the future, the guy with the mask,
There,
last season, we had actually... Dylan came up with a theory, or he was talking to us about a theory that was going around that actually it was Kanan.
Oh,
so
snap.
But like, I mean, but Kanan would be a little old for that. So
I would think so too. I know.
And we've already seen, and again, not to get like too far into predictions, but we've already seen that Ezra does have a capacity to go to the dark
side.
That
is true.
And who knows if his family dies, this family that he has come to love respect and trust, if they die, and it's his fault, he could very easily slip into the dark side.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually something I keep kind of going back to because we saw it in season one.
Yeah.
And because the stakes are so high and we know people are probably not going to make it out.
I know. Well, that was, so it was at Jasper Jackson 28 who tweeted that at me. And I was like, no! But the only reason I felt that way is because I feel like there is always that possibility.
Anakin, even going back to Anakin, Anakin was the chosen one.
Absolutely.
And even he was swayed by the dark
side. Which they brought up in this episode. I mean, one of the themes that we were dealing with here was the clones, and particularly Captain Rex, and trusting his superiors, so to speak.
Yeah, it's like, we know who he's talking about.
Oh, yeah, he served directly under Anakin in the Clone Wars. It was very clear. But at the same time, like, he's such a loyal character, which is why it's so interesting. He's such an interesting character because he is so unfailingly loyal, yet at the same time, he defected and he had that chip removed so he didn't have to follow Ordinance 66, basically.
Yeah.
So he obviously, you know, deserted, so to speak, sometime before that, probably. But basically, you know.
Well, and do we know that he, like, do we know for sure that he removed the chip before that happened?
I don't think we know for sure.
He inferred that that's what happened in terms of, like, you always have a choice, you know, and he's pointing to that.
Yeah.
But we don't know. We were, like, we didn't see him and the rest of the crew when Order 66 was implemented.
Right.
And we don't know what happened to them right after, you know, the Clone Wars ended.
I'm under the impression that it happened before.
That's like one of those things where kind of stuff you start to see the writing on the wall and you're like, maybe this isn't such a good idea.
Exactly.
I'm going to get out while I still can.
Well, and obviously it had gotten to a point that it was really bad. And also, you know, Captain Rex went through the whole thing, with Ahsoka when she was basically accused of committing a crime that she didn't commit and ultimately got banned from
fair.
The Jedi Order.
I wouldn't be on board with them either.
Yeah,
exactly.
So he has some basis, I think, to have made that choice ahead of time, because even though he is incredibly loyal, he's also incredibly good.
Yeah, no, and we've seen that. He follows his own conscience.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Speaking of consciousnesses and just having a complete change of heart in the course of, from the end of the last episode to the beginning of this episode, Wolf?
Yeah, no, and I don't want to call it like a heel face turn.
Right.
Because I think it's honestly more interesting if he stuck to his guns and is like, guys, these guys are bringing nothing but destruction to our front door. We were just minding our own business, and they are as fugitives. They are going to be our destruction. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad he's back on, you know, back on the same page as
right,
the rest
totally.
Of the team. But it's way, way, way more interesting to have him be completely on the opposite side of the spectrum, mm-hmm. but still be doing it for the right reasons because he cares about
yeah,
his family.
I agree. And I actually would not have minded if in this episode he'd still been of the mindset he was at the end of the last episode. I don't think it detracted from this episode by any means, but I think we could have had a really interesting dynamic if he still was very much sticking to
it. It was rushed character development.
Yeah. I totally agree. I agree completely with that. Yeah, because exactly. It's like at the end of the last episode, because we had this discussion last week where we knew why he did what he did. It was awful.
It was shocking, but at the same time, you 100% understood.
Well, I get it. I totally get it. I mean, the Empire called it out, too. They're like, we know you're harboring rebel fugitives.
Like, literally, we have video footage.
Yeah, there is a drone amongst you, and it basically projected it right back to us. So
Although these guys are terrible liars. Like, he didn't even come up with anything like, yes, they were here and now they're gone.
You know,
like, you guys have to go after them. They went this direction. No, it was, false alarm?
Yeah, I know. I love that they're like, oh, we were just kidding about that Jedi stuff. What?
Even if that was what you were going to be doing, why not blame it on the crazy guy?
Seriously, they've got a great scapegoat in Gregor.
Just like, he's been out in the sun too long. Guys, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry to have wasted your time. I'm so sorry.
That's the problem with the clones, is they were made to be soldiers and just obey orders.
Not actors.
No, not actors. Yeah, they are definitely, definitely not actors.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, it's Dee Bradley Baker doing all three of them, right?
I do believe so, yeah.
Okay, that is impressive.
Yep. Yep.
That man
he
has
did
some
the entire
range.
Clone battalion.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did.
Yes, every
very
single,
impressive.
Every single clone is Dee Bradley Baker with a vaguely Australian accent.
Which is so funny because every employee of the Empire is
Steve Bloom. Yet he's one of the main protagonists as well.
Cracked actually did a little fun skit on like how lying, in movies and television, it's mm-hmm. always presented as like the most difficult thing in the world.
Yeah.
When it's really not.
It's really not that hard to lie.
It's not. No.
Even if you had guilt about it, which they were not having guilt about. They were legitimately trying to act their way out of the Empire coming to attack
this
them.
This is why every protagonist needs to take improv classes.
Yep, absolutely. Yes, and.
Yes, there were rebels here.
Yes. So, yes, and they're gone.
That easy. Or even, like, hey, they got eaten by that giant thing.
By the Jupa, which I was so sad that they had to let the Jupa go.
They had to drop it. It was so disappointing, and Gregor was so sad.
They spent 20 minutes catching that thing. Well, not 20 minutes, but they spent a solid 10 minutes of the last episode trying to catch that thing.
It was a bonding experience.
It was.
And they didn't even get to enjoy it.
I know.
They didn't get to barbecue it, or however it is you cook that thing. I don't know. Would you saute it or
unclear? There's gonna be a lot of butchering involved first because it's very large.
it was disappointing.
Yeah, no, I agree. So basically the gist of the episode, as we inferred from the last episode, is they're basically stuck on Seelos, and the Empire is coming. The Empire arrives. Kallus is leading an assault to try to get the rebels from the clones, and the clones fight back.
Yeah, no, it's good to see old Mutton Chops back in action.
It was, yeah.
Because obviously it's fantastic to see Vader there.
Oh,
but
totally.
When Vader is there, everything else
is about
gets,
Vader. You can't help it. I mean, he's such an iconic villain, and
he has
I
such
think
presence.
I agree, and I think that Star Wars Rebels up to this point, and I do believe it will continue to use him very smartly.
Yeah.
where it's never going to be Vader is the bad guy. He's totally 100% in focus, but it's always going to leave you with that knowledge that Vader is present and he is affecting this, and sometimes we're going to see him.
Well, it's the knowledge that he could come back mm-hmm. at any moment, and that he is such a force to be reckoned. I mean, like, if he wanted to, he could just crush mm-hmm. Kanan and Ezra.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He was playing with them.
Dude, that fight with him in Siege of the Fall was crazy.
It was. And they got the... he mopped the floor with them.
Totally.
It was ridiculous. And so, yeah, just the knowledge that he's there. And, yeah, it's kind of like when you have a villain in a scary movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, it's way scarier.
Yeah, it's the Jaws. You don't see him.
Yeah, knowing that at some point he's going to pop back up again.
Yep, totally. What was I going to say? So this battle that they have down on Silos with all the AT-ATs. That's what I called them as a kid.
AT-ATs.
Yeah, the AT-ATs. They're AT-ATs.
Why is that they looked like cats or like
their movement is a little cat-like. So basically it's Howl's Moving Castle versus a bunch of AT-ATs. And I loved... First of all, there was a lot in this episode about Kanan's lingering racism towards clones.
Resentment is another word
another
we could
term
have used.
I could have used, but
no racism.
Yeah, that's basically what it is.
It is. Let's not beat around the bush.
Yeah, exactly. And I like that by the end of the episode, we saw him overcome that.
Yeah,
a little bit.
But at the same time, acknowledge that it's something he's going to have to continue to work on.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, it wasn't easy, and it's not going to be. Like, even though these guys were willing to sacrifice their lives for Ezra and his crew,
mm-hmm.
Kanan still had... I mean, they, you know, the clones killed his master.
Yeah, yeah.
They killed all of the Jedi.
Yeah.
Like, that's not something you just get over.
No,
even though
absolutely
it wasn't
not
their fault.
No, it's so, so true. And again, it's... I think that's part of the reason that this show is so good, is because the characters are so complicated.
They're well-rounded.
They're
yeah.
very, very well-rounded. You know, in many ways, I think that Rex is the most kind of good character that we're presented with, because everybody, you know, and I mean, he's got his baggage too.
Yeah, everybody has a little bit of baggage.
Everybody's got
show.
A little bit of baggage. I did like when they all teamed up to fight in the sandstorm, though. That was really cool.
That shot of the three of them just coming down in the middle. Yeah,
yeah,
that,
yeah.
That
it was
great
awesome.
Too. But yeah, the sandstorm was really great because we got a little bit of a new hope in there for like just a brief second.
I know. I love
use
it.
Use the Force, Ezra.
Yes, it was so similar to like the first moments of Luke having to use the Force. I'm getting very emotional about it. It's just such a good show.
And it was just really funny because you really do feel, and this is something that Pacific Rim did very well, you really feel the weight of
yes.
these mechs. Because I feel like the AT-ATs are not the most efficient means of travel.
No.
Or
nope.
artillery.
Nope.
I'm not really quite sure what they're
slow.
For.
I'm not entirely sure what they're for either.
I mean, they're good for stepping on things.
They look really cool.
They're really good for stepping on things. But when it turns, like, when Kallus is like, full speed ahead, and they're like, I was like, wouldn't it make more sense to have something with wheels?
Yes. Yep.
Anything?
I would think so.
Like, if you hopped onto your speeder bike, you could catch them.
Yep. But then at the end of the episode, after they survive all of this and everybody goes back and they decide, oh, we got to rescue the clones, even though Kanan still has his reservations about it. I loved the reunion between Ahsoka and Rex
so
much.
So great. We got a comment on Twitter from, I'm going to apologize.
Sure.
From at Mist Ogan Dark. I apologize, but Miss Dogan laughed when Rex said to Ahsoka that she's gotten old.
I know.
Yeah,
it was
so
cute. That reunion is beautiful, and again, this is something that I love about this show, is it takes those moments to just let it breathe. It doesn't feel like it needs to have dialogue and action in every single second. And that one moment that they had before she like embraced him, it was so
beautiful. I loved it. I loved it.
And like, she's not the teenager that he remembers.
No,
like, she was a kid the last time he saw her.
She's a woman, and she's a mentor character now. And
she's coming to her own. He's like, you're old.
Really nice way to greet a lady. Really nice. Really good. All right, so let's get into a little bit of news and gossip before we wrap things up here.
Oh, good.
I mean, we just, it's not really Star Wars Rebels related, but it's Star Wars related. We just have to talk about that trailer for a second.
Okay, I know I'm not the only one. I teared up.
Oh, I was thinking of watching it again before I came here, and I was like, nope, I did my eye makeup. I can't.
Nope, can't do it. Not happening. Not now. Go ahead.
Have you seen the cast members' reactions to it?
Yes.
They are beautiful.
John Boyega and Daisy.
John Boyega is, okay, Daisy's is adorable. She's like under a blanket and just like squealing and crying. John Boyega, I lost it because they're, if you guys have not watched these, look them up. They are incredible. And he's basically like, he's watching it and he's like, he and like a friend or something, and they're watching really, really intently. They're like, and then literally backflips.
He jumps over the couch onto the other side.
Mark, did you get the image that I sent in?
I did not get the image.
Sorry. That's okay. Ew. It was an image of a cat in space that Vanessa Marshall, who does the voice of Hera, tweeted as her reaction to the video. It's amazing. I quote tweeted it. Just follow me on Twitter, guys, and then you'll see it. It was incredible.
But just everything about this trailer felt like Star Wars.
It did. But the thing that's really interesting to me is that so many of my friends have been posting things and they're like, oh, it's the first thing that's felt like the originals and I love it and it made me love Star Wars again. And I'm like, are you guys watching Star Wars Rebels? Because
I know.
That's how I felt when I watched the first television special for Star Wars Rebels. I was like, oh my God, this is the closest it's felt to the original three since ever.
Yeah, no, the people who are working on Rebels have, and in fact the new movies, have such a respect.
They really do.
And love for the world that the original trilogy came from. And they know how much pressure is on them to make it good.
Yep.
To make it not only good, but great.
Yeah.
I had to stop myself from cursing there.
That's what
great.
Star Wars does to you people. It just makes you really emotional.
It really does. So I have, again, and since this is the same team that's working on Rebels, mm-hmm. that is working on the movies, I have complete faith in them.
Me too. I'm really excited. We could talk about this all day, but we can't because we have to wrap things up. So, Megan, where can the people find you on the internet?
You guys can follow me on Twitter at the Menguin. That's THEMENGUIN. I also am on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz, so just tune in at some point. You'll find me.
Yeah.
I also write articles for The Movie Chick. That's Chick with 2 Ks. Be sure to check those out. And be sure to watch The Movie Chick movie news show every Tuesday. It's This Week in Movie News. We had a little bit of trouble uploading this week, but we will get back on it as we move to a new studio. It's going to be great.
And I am Emma Fyfe. You can follow me all over social media at Emma Fyfe, which is my name. You can see me on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz TV. Follow me on Twitter. I tweet about it a lot. I also write for Legion of Leia, which the
awesome.
Lovely editor-in-chief, Jenna Bush will be joining us on this show at some point. She wrote 2 chapters in the Star Wars psychology book. She's amazing.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Also, just so you guys know, next week, Megan and I are going to be out covering the premiere of Ash versus the Evil Dead.
Yes!
So we're actually moving the time of the show. So next week, instead of doing the show on Wednesday at 8:30, we're going to do Thursday at 7:30. That's just for next week. We'll be back at our regular time the week after that. So don't tune in Wednesday thinking you're going to find us. Wait till Thursday. We'll be here. Again, guys, keep those comments coming using that hashtag ABTVRebels, and we'll see you guys all again very soon.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.